Welcome to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Into the Void podcast. I am with Ollie Swift from Fox Haunt, a band from the UK overseas. So you want to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I'm Ollie. I sing in the band Fox Haunt from the UK.
I know I had reviewed your previous EP Mindset, but we really didn't delve into the meat of the matter of how you guys came to be and how Mindset kind of manifested and all that jazz. So I think we can kind of dig into that now that you're here.
Yeah, definitely.
I know every scene is kind of different, not in just like here in the States, but like in every country, things are kind of different wherever you go. How did Fox Haunt come to be? What inspired the name behind it? Just how did that all just come to fruition?
I think it was end of 2017. I was looking for a new band to join because my previous band had broken up. And there's a website in the UK called joinmyband.co.uk. And it's kind of like Tinder for band people. So if you want to find your perfect match, that's what you need if you want to be in a band. So yeah, I went on there. I like put an ad up saying like I'm a vocalist, put some links to some tunes that I'd sang on. And yeah, like Tom got in touch with me, sent a demo that he'd done and listened to it. And I was like, oh yeah, this sounds cool. So I met up with him at a rehearsal space, and he knew Jamie, who's our drummer. So I met those guys in York. So I live in Leeds, which is obviously in West Yorkshire, and then York's like north of Leeds. So I drove up there, did a rehearsal, and like hit it off straight away. We got a lineup together, and then over the past couple of years, it's kind of changed. We were a five-piece, but we changed our bassist and a guitarist, and now it's just the four of us, me, Nick, Jamie and Tom. Nick came in a couple of years ago and he's just been a bit of a, kind of like a breath of fresh air to it as well. We released our first single in 2018 just to really like test the water and see what people thought. We got a pretty good reception to it. So we thought, you know what, let's take a go of it. And we actually recorded four songs and we were going to release it as an EP, but then COVID happened and we had to cancel a couple of tours. So we just released a few singles and then, we got back in the studio just after we got like released from our homes again over here and we went into record Mindset. So yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but I feel like now we're in a proper good place as a four piece.
Now you can definitely tell that with the recent EP Mindset coming out, feels like you guys have definitely come into your own and kind of felt where your sound is coming from. Like you said, you mentioned previously, you had some singles come out in the past where you guys were kind of trying to find your sound. But I feel like with Mindset, you guys definitely have put a stamp on this is what you're doing and this is kind of like what we're sticking with. What are your music influences? I know with Mindset, there's a lot that kind of goes back and forth here. We have like these massive riffs. We got these super infectious choruses that, intermingle within the songs. But then we have like these points where you kind of playfully aggressive and you get like these really wicked synth parts. You get this dynamic display of like guitars and percussive energies that really work well with like a lot of the lyricism within the EP. So can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we all come from like pretty different musical like backgrounds. So Nick loves his 80s music. I'm definitely into my like Linkin Park, My Chemical Romance, Alexis on Fire, those kind of bands, as well as like Don Broco from over here and Bring Me the Horizon as well. And then Tom is a fan of like Anne Boleyn and Story of the Year. And Jamie's like a cross between like A Day to Remember, Alexis, and then Don Broco over here as well. And likes a lot of his pop punk. So there's a bit of a mashup really. And I think, like what you touched upon, we wanted to find the balance between like riff driven tunes, and then also like having poppy like kind of melodies and stuff that people could sing along to. And then the synths and stuff probably drive from like listening to bands like Bring Me and Enter Shikari as well, like they've been pretty big on the UK scene. So I think the fact that we're all influenced by different bands, but then we can kind of come collectively into like a single produced song and set of songs that we can all like bring our own influences and our own stamp on is kind of apparent in this latest EP. And like, yeah, that's the main goal really. It's like bringing our influences and the sounds that we like into something that's kind of a bit different and our own thing really. That's always been the goal with it.
I think we get like something that's really different and really interesting parallels, right? Because that's kind of like that really quick burst of like energy of that 80s and kind of that massiveness of the difference between the two worlds, right? I really liked that track because it's like, it's definitely one of those tracks you don't see coming in the EP. You know, you jump from your first track, Enemy, which is great in and of itself because we do get that massive burst of like heaviness and stuff like that. But then we get Parallels, which is such a different track atmospherically from what you get from the first track. Yeah. Diving into the lyrical process, I know we talked about the instrumental side to it, which certainly has its fun and edgy qualities to it. But can we talk about that a bit? Lyrically, it's very anthemic in some areas, but I know there's a bit more to it than that.
Yeah, I mean, you can probably tell that like all these songs were written during lockdown. Like, I think the majority of it like came from that point of view. So, I mean, Enemy is about the majority of our country don't have a great relationship with the government. So the Enemy was kind of thinking about the government and how they handle things and generally like the way they come across and the fact that it feels like us against them. And also a bit of like what you get in general day to day with like people that you're encountering and you're coming across and different opinions and stuff. Parallels is definitely like the comparison of people's worlds and like how different it can be from one person to another, and just like the golfing class over here as well. It's quite driven by the fact that there's a clear separation between the top and the bottom. And then Make Me Feel Alive and Monster, that it's more like playing on like those anxieties and stuff. Monster was definitely like seeing like anxiety and those kind of feelings. Because during COVID and during the pandemic, when we were locked down and we were not able to get out and we were in the same four walls every day, we definitely felt like there was just so much unknown, and like none of us experienced anything like this before. And we didn't really have an idea of when things were going to end and when we were going to be able to get back to normality. So yeah, that's Monster. And then Make Me Feel Alive is about that same mundane day-to-day process where it was just all about waking up, watching a bit of Netflix, not being able to see your friends, your family, and missing that, like, you know, going to shows, going to gigs, playing music, all the stuff that you love to do. And then Running Again was another one just to say, like, a bit of a middle finger to the government and to say that, like, you know, you don't care about your own people. So it's definitely, like, probably a lot of bands, a bit of a pandemic-driven set of lyrics, but when I write lyrics and stuff, it's always about how I'm feeling like here and now. I don't do a lot of like storytelling in terms of like picking a specific topic and talking about it, but it's more like how I feel about things, and the lads in the band kind of help me on that lyric writing journey as well, and just we kind of bounce off each other from there really.
No, I did get a sense of that, and I think no matter where we live, some people feel like there's a gap, right? Because you guys are overseas and, you know, we're in the United States or wherever we live, there's kind of a clash in how we identify with the world almost. But I think there is this common ground of wanting to feel equal within society and to be treated right. I think you do hit that in a myriad of ways of wanting to just feel, just to feel okay and wanting to feel like everything is just normal. I think we're not quite there yet in the sense of, you know, with COVID and then just a lot of different things that have just been happening over the years that just kind of just keep speedballing into the mix. And
yeah, definitely.
It's hard to feel that way when you are trying to navigate through all those emotions. And I think you hit that on the mark with a lot of these different tracks. And I think a lot of people do resonate with that. And sometimes we all need to come together and kind of, even with music, I think this is the perfect way to share that we all kind of feel the same way, no matter where you come from.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? It seems to all happen at once. It's like, it is madness. I don't know if it's like, as you get a little bit like older and you're more aware of things, that stuff like this is more apparent, or if it's just a bit of a strange one at the moment and a lot of stuff is happening all at once and there's a lot of disparity between, yeah, like different countries, different people, and it's definitely like at the forefront of everything in terms of like lyric writing and the feel of songs. I mean, you can't really get away from it when it's drilled into you every day, and it's like, you know, you wake up, you read the news, and that's what's happening. So it's very topical in terms of like the songs that we released for Mindset. Yeah,
you guys had said that you had wrote a few singles in the past, so in what ways was the creative process coming into this EP different from the singles that you wrote in the past, and how did that impact that moving forward?
Yeah, it was much more unified probably this time around. I think previously we've been pretty old school with like the way we wrote our songs. Like we basically allocate every Thursday night to have a rehearsal, and we get there and just try and think of ideas there and then, which actually looking back was probably like one of the most frustrating things ever, because we would just be stuck like trying to think of ideas there and then and be like, oh, has anyone got an idea? And yeah, we'd just kind of be hashing it all together to try and make something, which, you know, when the clock's ticking and you've got a room for like 6 hours and it's just like you're trying to write something, it's just not the most productive. And I know that I couldn't get the best out of myself when it was like trying to write things there and then and had nothing to refer back to. So this time we kind of reworked it and we started being much more like digital with the way we wrote. So Tom would write guitars and just lay down some like MIDI drums on his software and send that over. And then I'd put some lyrics to that. And then we'd sit down on like Zoom or Skype and just talk about the song and then go into the lyrics, go into the melodies and like literally pick out each track, the guitar, the bass, the drums, and scrutinize it and challenge each other to think of like the best way to go about writing things to make sure the song's as good as it can be. So it just allowed us like, you know, to take things away and think about things a bit more rather than just being quite instantaneous with the way that we wrote. Like before, it was very much, we were in a rehearsal room, we wouldn't really record it, but this time we pre-produced it, we laid the demos down, and then we listened to a batch of songs and picked out the best ones and, yeah, really worked hard on the five to make sure that they're the best they can be. It was much more considered, and we spent a lot of time going through the details, which was actually really fun to do, and we definitely use that kind of technique going forward because it gets you a better song, and it makes us better as songwriters as well.
I think as you, I guess, move forward, like as a band, I know you guys are still relatively new in the sense of you guys have been out for a few years now, but as you become more unified and start making more music together, and I know kind of COVID kind of threw a monkey wrench into the mix of doing things, but as things kind of collectively become better, fingers crossed, making music will generally become a more unified experience, I think, for everyone. Because I think when COVID came around, the making of bands was a little bit
harder because everybody was separated and you couldn't really do music traditionally the way you would on a regular basis. I think as things kind of become better, we could go back to making music the way we normally do, in the sense of a more unified experience. What have you gotten out of this personally now that Mindset is finished? What has the feedback been like, and would you change anything about it now that you've kind of like sat on it a bit?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like, personally, it's just been good to release like a body of work that's been kind of going on behind the scenes for quite a while. I think the frustration was that we weren't able to do what we wanted to do and get everything out because the whole world was obviously like locked down. So we had to wait for all that so we could release it gradually and then start to do shows and stuff again as well. So yeah, the biggest thing for me on a personal level is just to have something out there that really showcases what we're about as a four piece. Like, obviously, like you said, we're pretty new in terms of like how long we've been around and the shows we've been doing. I mean, the past 2 years has just halted us. And even though we've still been developing that behind the scenes, like, obviously we haven't been able to get out there as much as we want. So it's definitely increased our fan base. And we've had so many new people coming in and saying that they like the new songs and like attracting new followers and stuff, which has been great. So yeah, that's been really good. And then also just like everyone that's been supporting us so far as well, like we've had some like amazing comments. And yeah, you probably didn't take it in as much as you should, because you always scrutinize your own work more than anyone else. Yeah, actually the feedback's been great, and I think it's challenging because we're still like a smaller unsigned band, but we definitely feel collectively as a group that we've taken a big step forward, and we're just now straight on to writing the next set of work, and that's already at the forefront to go into to the next part of the year, really. So yeah, it's been good, and it's opened a few new doors as well, which has been obviously positive for us as a band.
Even though I know you're being your worst critic as a musician, I feel like Mindset definitely sounds more mature. If I was just coming across this and I didn't know about the other few singles that had come out before this, I would definitely feel like you guys had been around for a while. That definitely registers with this EP. I feel like you guys do have a bright future, because like I said, this EP definitely was a breath of fresh air. We keep saying that this is like a brand new experience for you guys, but this is kind of a fun question that I like to ask a lot of artists. If you could work with a band or artist, who would it be?
Whew, that is a good question. I think it would have to be, but for me at the moment, it would be Alexis on Fire, just because they're such like, as a band, we all love them and think they're insane. And then also like Dallas Green and the rest, there's just so much talent in there that it would be amazing to just like do a collaboration with them and yeah, bring out a Fox on Alexis on Fire track. That would be amazing. I suppose that's from our scene, but then like on a pop level, I think like doing something with someone like Lady Gaga would be pretty mint.
Oh
like,
my God, yes.
I'd love that. I think she's really sick. So that would be pretty cool.
I think those are two really great choices. I mean, just that band alone, just mixing those influences together, I think would make just a great track overall.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga, when you just think of how far she's come since the early 2000s to now, she's just a really great performer. And
yeah,
I mean, even now that she's diving into like, you know, movies now, she's just, she's amazing. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Cool.
She is. And just, she's a unique person. And I can't say anything bad about her. She's definitely one of my role models for sure. I know you had mentioned doing shows and whatnot. So this is going to be another hard one for you. It's usually a hard one for a lot of artists,
what artist or band would you tour with if you could? This is your tour.
Nice. So have I just got to pick one?
I mean, you could pick an artist, you can pick a band, you can pick an opener.
I have thought about this a lot, and it's like you always want to pick your favorite band, but then what about if you play the show and they will be better than you? So it's a bit of a tough one. Like right now, I'd probably go with someone like maybe Don Broco, if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
I listen to them very much. Yeah. So their latest album I've been listening to a lot. So I think I'd probably choose them if it was over here in the UK. But then if we were picking a US band, because we like both UK and US bands, I've been listening to Rain City Drive a lot. It used to be called Slaves. So yeah, maybe those. They would be my two if I was over your way or if we were over here.
Very cool. Very cool. I definitely like both bands. I feel like, what if we just had both? If we could have both in like the same actual tour, that would be so sick.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
That would be so sick.
I would love that.
That would be an amazing show.
Yeah, wouldn't it? That'd be great.
I know this is kind of hard because I know mindset delves into like a lot of themes within the course of an EP. But if you had to share like an overall message for what mindset stood for, what would that be?
That's a very good question. All the tracks are quite different, but it's all based around like a single message, which is probably regardless of challenges and like your general thought process and how difficult like some things may be, just stick to your guns and come out the other side and just stick to your principles, really. I think it's all about that, and like, you know, no matter how difficult situations get, just be yourself and stick to your principles, and you'll like come out the other side. And it's just all about that challenge, really, and overcoming it. So yeah, it's quite like a positive message, really. I don't want to, come across like too emo or anything, but more of a like a positive state of mind and how you overcome situations and challenges. That's what like lyrically we really wanted to get across, and then hopefully like the music drives that as well in terms of the feel and how it comes across in a live and on like Spotify or whatever, where everyone's listening. Hopefully that comes across.
Personal, I like that you said you don't want to come across as too emo, because I like how you said that, because traditionally if you look at a lot of like Into the Void's bands, I do traditionally do metalcore or punk, or like either synthwave or just things around that nature. So the fact that we're talking about this is just like, it's okay to be a little bit emo. It's okay.
Yeah. Everyone's a little bit emo though, aren't they? It's fine. Right. Like just embrace it. Yeah. Like I don't want people to listen to our music and feel like the world is ending or anything like that. And I don't think you get that anyway. It's more like, it should be quite like inspirational and just giving you a bit of a buzz to go out and do your thing, you know? That's what it's all about.
I've said this to like a few bands during the few episodes that I've been doing this. This is a fairly new podcast, and I appreciate all the bands and all the people that have been tuning in thus far. I appreciate the positivity that a lot of people have been putting into the music thus far, even though I know a lot of us come from a lot of the scene or emo-based generation of things. I feel it's good to be positive in a world that's sort of not positive a lot of things, because it is easy to look at things, whether it be things in the news or things on social media, and it is easy to get sidetracked on not being positive, whether it be like self-image or like things that are going on in the world, and you get very self-conscious about a lot of things. And I think music does help us navigate through those emotions the best way that we know how. And I think, like I keep going back to our generation of music, I think our generation of music definitely helped propel that forward.
Yeah, definitely.
This is a good question for you, because I know you're overseas. With your music, do you feel at times it's easier or harder to navigate your music to the masses? And I know when looking at music collectively, like within our scene, we have like usually the big head honchos. We have like you guys, which are, you know, the UK, Europe, we have Australia, we have, of course, the United States, all kind of within this network of the scene. I noticed that there's some places that kind of blow up in the scene, and then there's some places that are not really recognized for the talent that's out there. And I know you can look at, again, like places like Japan, where the rock scene is often overlooked at times because of maybe language barriers and stuff like that. But if you listen to the music itself, it's amazing, right? But then you look at like small bands like yourself within the UK, where you guys just started out, but you're not very well known, but your music is fantastic. Do you feel like it's harder at times to get your music out to the masses because of demographics?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough market, isn't it? It's like, there's a lot of amazing bands about, there's tough competition. And I do think like geographically, like you go places like Germany and tour Europe and you'll get crowds there that will, people just go out to listen to live music. Over here, you do have to try and establish yourself a bit more and get an appetite from people to come out and see you. Obviously, we'd love to tour Europe a bit more. We'd love to tour America, and then we'd love to tour Asia as well, because, you know, there's an appetite out there for rock music. It just feels like at the moment we're in a bit of a pop cycle, and it's all about pop music and grime and rap and stuff like that, which is cool. Right. And I don't mind. I don't listen to them very often, but I do think that eventually like rock music will be at the forefront and shine again. I think like bands like Bring Me, I mean, the other night they did a collab with Ed Sheeran, which was like insane. And that puts like metal music and heavier music at the forefront again. So whilst I do think it has its challenges, I wouldn't change it for anything. Like I'd rather be in a rock band and love the music rather than being in a pop band and not be as passionate about it. So I think, you know, we'll continue growing and get our opportunities, and now we're playing live again, we'll get more experiences and different potential door openers that will allow us to progress more so. But yeah, it's definitely competitive, but it's definitely worth it, because yeah, we're getting back to playing live again. At the back end of last year was just, it was insane. It was like 2 years since we'd last done a show, and then doing that for like an hour was, it made it all worthwhile. So yeah, what you say is valid. It's not easy.
No, I definitely agree. And I share some type of, you know, empathy with you guys, definitely being overseas. And because a lot of the music that I do listen to does come from overseas, believe it or not, because like, even though I have to apologize for anybody that does listen to this, I do like a lot of bands from the US. I'm not knocking that at all, but I do feel a lot of the creative talent does stem from overseas, and it's often overlooked. And it's a shame, because I feel like at times it's not really given a chance, because people do not often open up and are not willing to open up to new experiences because of that. Because I feel like if they do, they would realize that, especially within the rock industry, definitely within, you know, the metalcore or pop punk or the punk sector of things where things are not as popular, if you open up to your surroundings a bit, you would see that there's a lot more going on than you realize.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, it's kind of the culture nowadays, isn't it? Like, everything's pretty accessible, so people can go onto social media and pretty much choose what they want to hear when they want to hear it, rather than when you used to like go to like CD shops and record stores and like pick out and look at the artwork and stuff. You don't really get that nowadays, which is a bit sad, but yeah, I think you've just got to be releasing new music because like as much as you can, because everything's so quick turnaround and fast paced. Like if you don't do something for a few months, then by the time your next thing comes out, there'll be a new kid on the block that is taking the limelight. So you've got to be pretty ruthless with your releases, and that's the way we'll do it. But it's challenging, but it kind of gets the best out of us as well. I think if it was an easy ride, we probably wouldn't write as good music, but mm-hmm. the fact that it's challenging just kind of adds a bit of fuel to the fire, which is always good.
I guess this is a good topic for the next question, since we're already talking about it. If you could change anything about the music industry, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I actually don't know, like, because if you got rid of Spotify, it wouldn't be as easy for people to listen to music. I think the biggest thing probably is people's willingness to pay for, I mean, don't get me wrong, we've got a load of people that will pay £6, which is probably like $10 to come see a gig. I think there's a lot of like difficulty people don't want to pay for shows sometimes, and like, you know, kind of scrutinize every penny and every pound, which is cool. I do it sometimes. Well, I'm guilty of it, but yeah, maybe like just the willingness to get people out to watch live music. That's probably the one thing I'd change, because I think going out to support bands like for a 30-minute set and pay a fiver or whatever would probably go a longer way than a lot of people expect. So yeah, getting more people involved in like the live music scene, I reckon. Because when I was growing up, we used to travel like an hour, 2 hours, maybe more, just to go see bands, just for the fun of it. So yeah, I feel like that's the one thing I'd change.
I think you're right on that for a lot of reasons, because I feel like we're losing a lot of live spots because people are so inclined, I guess, to stay in and listen to music now, as opposed
to
going out to live shows. And we've lost a lot of places to that because of the nature of how music is now, where it's so accessible to just listen to a single or listen to an album right at your fingertips. And, you know, when COVID came about, doing in streaming concerts was a thing. You know, that made people look and see like, oh, well, if you could do that, why do I have to go out, right? I think like, I mean, I'm laughing about it, but it's also kind of, it's sad. While I do like to listen to an album or a single and get that experience, that's all well and good to listen to your stuff on like headphones. I don't think anything really beats the feeling of feeling the music like in your chest, or like seeing your favorite band up on stage and, you know, just feeling that music just coursing through your veins from your, like, your favorite artist. And then looking back on that and like saying like, geez, I'll never get to like maybe see that band ever again. I know when I got to see One OK Rock, I often go back to this memory because One OK Rock is not a band that traditionally comes to the States a lot. So when I got to see them in New York, it was like the most ridiculous show I had ever seen. And just feeling that music just pulse through your veins, just feeling that music just sink into your chest with everybody just around you, and just enjoying in this, hearing everybody singing the lyrics out to like the artist, and you're like singing the music out to the artist. Just all those things that you don't get seeing the concert on your screen. Like, yes, you can pretend to be there, but it's not the same experience, you know?
No, not at all.
I definitely get where you're coming from on that, on every aspect.
I often like to ask this question because it's sometimes, I guess it's an interesting answer to see where people would be at if they were not doing music as a career. If you were not doing music, what would you be doing instead?
If I probably be playing, I'm quite into my football, which you guys obviously call soccer. So I'd probably be playing a lot more of that. I think I probably don't, because yeah, music takes up the most of my time. So I'd probably be playing a lot more sports. So I'd probably be a lot healthier and in a lot better shape. Yeah, I'd probably be playing a lot more football. I watch a lot of it still. Obviously gigging a lot, and the weekends are the best time to play shows, so that takes up a lot of our time. And yeah, making sure that we're always writing and stuff obviously takes up your evenings. So I think I would definitely be playing football more. I was never good enough to be like a pro footballer, but I'd definitely be playing it a lot more than I currently am. So I think that probably.
That would be super cool though.
Yeah.
Seeing you up on TV and stuff like that, when the games actually come on TV, I'd be like, I know that guy.
I know, imagine.
I feel like if I wasn't a journalist,
yeah,
I feel like I would be doing skateboarding if I was.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, nice.
I was actually doing a lot of that back in high school. And really? I wanted to take that into actually doing that like full force, or probably a marine biologist. And that was,
wow.
Right. A lot of people don't really know that about me, because writing and music has kind of always been my two biggest passions. But like before that, in high school, I was really dead set on going into marine bio, or if I wasn't going to do that, I was like really dead set on really becoming like a skateboarder. So
They are different ends of the spectrum there. That's pretty cool. I was always really bad at skateboarding. Yeah, respect. That's pretty cool.
I know you were talking about gigging and stuff before. I always like this question because they're always the funniest answers for me in terms of the best venues that you've ever played and the worst venues that you've ever played.
The best venue for us is probably, I mean, in terms of like being iconic and like a place that we just like love performing because it's like our hometown show, it would be the Fulford Arms in York. It's like a little venue. We played our latest hometown show there and sold it out, and like it's always proper good vibes. And yeah, it's just like a really friendly venue. Everyone's happy to see each other and happy to come watch some live music. The worst venue we played this festival, which was not the best. It was fine, not great. I mean, we were basically like the only heavy band playing, and we were coming on after like, I think it was a Simon and Garfunkel cover band.
So
we got on and it was basically the back of a lorry just in front of a cattle farm, so it stank of cow shit basically. And we played out to be fair, there's quite a few people there, but they were all more interested in like the merry-go-rounds and little when you try to hook a duck and stuff like that.
Right.
They're more interested in that, and they were just like sat on hay bales just like looking at us like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? So probably that, just because as well the stench of cow shit was horrendous, and that would probably be the worst one.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's terrible. Wasn't great.
I think it was Nick's second gig as well, and it's pretty imprinted on our minds, so yeah, that would probably be the worst one.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Yeah, not great.
Oh my goodness. I think the worst show that I probably ever went to was like, I don't know if you had ever heard of Six Flags. Six Flags is like an amusement park that's over here, roller coasters and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
I think it was horrible for me because it was me and my sister that had went. And we had went to, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Maine. The Maine is pretty huge here. It kind of made up for it afterwards, because when we went to a show after, it was 10 times better than this show. It was super hot there. The show didn't start for at least like probably an hour. We had just gone on a bunch of roller coasters. And then the people that were sitting next to us were all up on us. It was like one of my first concert experiences. And I was just like, if every concert experience is going to be like this, I don't know if I ever want to go to a concert again.
Just like people,
right? People were just like pushing against us. It was terrible. And I don't think like afterwards I ever wanted to go to a concert again. I wouldn't trade it for the world, because like it was the first time I had ever went and saw them. Yeah, no, I never wanted to go to a concert at Six Flags ever again after that. It was terrible. I was like, this was just like a one and done kind of thing. If I ever want to go and see somebody, it will not be at Six Flags.
I mean, it sounds pretty scary, but yeah, you made it out alive, which is the most important thing.
Oh my goodness. For you as an artist, what is the best advice you've ever gotten as a musician, and what makes you still passionate about what you do?
Yeah, don't like give up on the sound that you want to create, basically. That's the main thing. Evolve as like musicians and improve our songwriting and stuff. So things are bound to change and influences change as well. But what the EP is all about is like sticking to your guns and overcoming things and just getting better at what you do. I think, just believe in what you're doing and, don't give up on that. I've always been a pretty strong believer of that anyway, just in life in general. So I think that's why we still got the passion for it and why we keep going at it, because, we definitely like believe in what we're doing and want to make a big stamp on the alternative scene. So that's probably the best piece of advice that I've been given.
With the EP just recently coming out, you guys are probably going to be working on touring or probably doing shows and whatnot. But what is next for Fox Hunt, if I'm allowed to dig and poke?
Oh, you can ask away. You can ask away. We've got a UK tour in April, and we've got a few shows across the rest of the year. And then we're already writing for the next set of releases. We don't know what that's going to be, if it's going to be an EP or maybe kind of like a mini album, not really sure yet, but definitely got plans for like releases again this year and new music, and that's something we want to be getting on with. So kind of all systems go. The dream is one day to play overseas and in different countries and different continents and stuff like that. That's always something we want to do. If the appetite's there, then we'll do it. It's just, I suppose, getting through probably this year and then next year and having a look like what's feasible and what we can do. Yeah, that's kind of long term, but for the short term, we're definitely like looking at releasing more music this year and another body of work and writing again already. So that's the aim.
I mean, I feel like you guys are already in the right step in the right direction to do all those things. Cause I mean, like I said, the EP was really amazing. I think a lot of people are going to be really anxious to listen to it live, cause there are a lot of great things that are happening on this EP instrumentally as well as lyrically. That's why a lot of times I try to get people like you guys onto this site, because I feel like the smallest treasures are the biggest of treasures, right? Because you don't really know until you listen to smaller bands, you don't really know what you're missing out on. So
thank you.
I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast.
And thank you for having me.
No, it was really great chatting with you about your music.
Yeah, you too.
I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode. We will be back with another episode shortly with another band. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. It does keep us all going. Remember, you can listen on Podbean, you can listen on my website, and you could also, again, listen on YouTube. Thank you guys. Have a great day.